All right, I think we are ready to get going here, so we'll get you to return back to your seats. At the same token, let me say good morning to everybody who is online with us. Great to have you here as well. Welcome to Colwood Church. My name is Sean, and I'm one of the pastors here on this team, and again, I'm just glad that you have taken some time this Sunday to come and be with us. It's been a great morning so far, and we're going to continue with it. Today, you are joining us as we begin in another series here at our church that we have titled Mature. Just turn to your neighbor and say, Go ahead, like, let them know the moment, right? But to do this, let me just give you the backbone verse of this chapter that we're looking at in Ephesians, and it comes from Ephesians 4, verses 13. This is where we're getting this topic from. It says, "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." Pray with me as we've read the word of the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And I believe today that you have been doing some significant things in people's lives already. Now, allow your word to communicate to the depths of who we are. Change us to be more like you, Jesus, is what I pray. I give you thanks for these moments that we're about to share together. And I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. The subject that I would like to speak to us from today is going to be called, well, I'll tell you in a second. I've been thinking a lot about maturity lately. In fact, when I looked at the word maturity, I went to Google to find out some information there, because how many of you know Google knows everything, and it's always accurate, right? So I went to Google to look at the word maturity, and there I also found a synonym to the word maturity, and the synonym was adulthood as the definer of maturity. And how many of you have ever met an adult that really wasn't quite that mature, though? Like, has anybody ever seen this before? Okay, a couple of us. But I've been thinking about this idea of maturity, but one of the things that we look at with maturity is it's called linear growth charts. And really what it is, it's a straight line, and it's like somewhere on this line is your life. Somewhere on this line is my life. And so today I want us to consider the linear growth patterns of maturity that are in us. And so to do that, I've been looking at different ways in which we can decipher and look at maturity. So let's start physically. Did you know that there is a physical maturity that you could have in your life? So some time ago, you were born. You had absolutely no teeth. But then you started to grow in your body a little bit, and as you began to grow, things were beginning to take place. Your body took different shapes. Then at some point in your life, you reached this thing called puberty. Does anybody remember that? That was fun times. And so in puberty, that happens, but then you begin to get taller. Perhaps you begin to get wider as you get a little bit further along in age. Maybe some of the gray starts showing up, and then all of a sudden, you lose your teeth again that you got just not too long ago, and all of a sudden, you're on this trajectory of physical growth. But then there is something called emotional maturity that we could take a look at as well. Have you ever looked at anybody in your life before and you've uttered these words to them, or at least you said it under your breath, trying to be a really polite follower of Jesus Christ, but you said these words to them, "You need to grow up." Has anybody ever said that before to anybody, right? And I remember this idea of looking at people and say, "You need to really grow up." It was my brother and my sister. And I remember they're both younger than me, but my brother, who's the middle child, he would always pick on my sister, and it irritated me. I was like, enough is enough. And I looked at him one day, I'm like, "You need to grow up, buddy, or I'm going to deal with you." And he called my bluff. So what I did is I took my brother, I pinned him onto the ground, and I let my sister beat him. It's like, because he was not getting, not beat him physically, okay? But it was this idea, but we look at, or the idea of emotional maturity too is like when you are in a room with other people, do you know the room? Do you know what is actually happening with other people? Not just how you are or how you feel, but other people in the room. Where are you on the emotional side of it? But then the one that I really want to dig into a little bit today is, what about spiritual maturity? Like, where would you be on this pattern when it comes to your spiritual lives in the maturity that we're about to discover here together? For instance, the things that I think about when I'm trying to observe the maturity in other believers who say they love Jesus are things like this. Are they running their mouths all the time? Are they biting back at people? Are they choosing not to forgive or even demonstrate love. Like, we could look at different things along this linear growth pattern when it comes to our spiritual maturity. So to do that today, we jump into a new chapter with a new title. But Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 says this. Therefore, somebody say, therefore. Therefore, I as Paul. Therefore, I, Paul, who is a prisoner for serving the Lord, I beg you to lead or to walk a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. So today, what I want to discuss with us is this idea of walking worthy. What does it mean to walk worthy today? So right away in verse 1, the Apostle Paul tells us the word therefore. Now, when you see the word therefore, you need to stop. You actually need to pause and consider, what is this author trying to communicate right now? It's as if something has been said, but therefore, this is now what needs to be heard as well. In our languages today, we have a couple of other words that kind of fit the bill when it comes to this. The words are but or however. Have you used these words before in your vocabulary? You've said something really nice, and then you said the word but, which now erases everything that you just said to kind of get to what's most important in your life. So, hypothetical situation, of course, this never happened to me, but here's an example. Sean, you are an incredible guy, but I think we'd be better off as friends. That's never happened to me, or that not at least I'm ready to confirm yet today. But you understand what I'm saying. I was watching TV the other night. I was watching a basketball game. And what had happened was the opposing team fouled the home team. And they called a foul. Well, the coach of the opposing team didn't like the call, and so he challenged the call. What happened was the referee went back to the screens. They looked at it. This is what the referee said as they came. They're on a microphone now in front of 20,000 screaming fans, and they said that the ruling on the floor has been overturned in favor of the opposing team, to which 20,000 people started to boo and say not great things to this referee. And then in the same sentence, that referee then said, however, the home team is going to retain the ball and keep possession. And then all of a sudden, those same fickle 20,000 fans started to cheer for this referee. And I'm thinking, what in the world? The power of words are quite interesting, are they not? Whether it's but, whether it's however, or whether it is therefore. Something important was said, and it was probably a true thing. But now this is more necessary. How many of you have ever wanted to sit in Oprah's studio audience at Christmas time when she was handing out gifts to everybody? Does anybody ever see that? Anybody ever want this before? I mean, she's up there, it's like, you get a car, you get a car, you. Who wants a car today, right? I mean, you're not going to get it from me, and I'm not Oprah. So, but this is exactly what Paul is referring to. He's using an Oprah moment. In fact, I think Oprah stole it from Paul in the first place. But this is Paul. Over the last number of chapters, he's like, guess what? You get forgiveness. You get forgiveness. You get an inheritance. You're now chosen. And he throws out all of these incredible things, and they are important for us to see. But Paul then now says, therefore. And a shift happens in our text that we cannot ignore, that we have to see. Tim Mackey from the Bible Project framed it this way, chapters 1 through 3. What we have done together is we have comprehended the apocalypse. The apocalypse is the reveal, that God was trying to reveal something to humanity. And we've discussed that over these last number of weeks. And what that is called orthodoxy. It is doctrine. We have taught you thing after thing, chosen, forgiven, adopted, inheritance, Holy Spirit, so many different things. But now what we are about to see in chapters 4 through 6 is how we respond to the apocalypse, which becomes the orthopraxy. Last year in the life of our church, we went through an elaborate piece of trying to decipher, what are we going to do in the next 3 to 5 years? Who are we going to become? And we landed on two words through our think tank. The words were that we wanted to together train people, which is orthodoxy,
And the second word that we presented was that we need to get better in our relationships, which is the orthopraxy. And I find it very interesting what God is trying to communicate to us as a church in this season. But all this to say this, we're about to go to practice, everybody. And I know how many of us maybe don't like practice, but we're about to go to practice. What we see here is a shift from doctrine to duty, from theology to practice, from truth to application. And what I'm placing in front of all of us today is your spiritual maturity. Let's pick on that for a few moments. In fact, in the Bible, when it comes to our spiritual maturity, there are a number of things that are communicated, and perhaps you'll find yourself back again on that linear growth pattern, that track. So in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13, it says this to us today, that some of us here, we need milk, but we are unskilled in the word of righteousness. In Hebrews 6, 1, it says that some of us here, you need to leave the elementary doctrine of Christ. You need to leave that milk behind. You need to push forward to your maturity. And then, of course, in Hebrews 5, 14, that solid food, it actually is for the mature. And what I've noticed in this pathway of all of our lives, including my own, when it comes to spiritual maturity and the linear growth pattern that is there, I've often asked people, where are you at when it comes to this idea of, you know, Jesus? And many people will respond to me and they would say this, well, I'm religious. To which I don't know what that means half the time. This world is very spiritually hungry these days, and many people, I'm religious. What does that mean? Or some people have come to me and said, I'm a man or I'm a woman of faith. Well, that's good. But did you know that the devil and the demons even believe Jesus? So what does this mean? I got faith. You want to know something that I rarely hear people define themselves at when it comes to this spiritual maturity and trajectory? It would be this. What about I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? I don't hear that a lot. To me, that's actually quite intriguing. And here's why. Let me ask you this question. Do you love Jesus, but choose not to do what he says? Let this sink in for a moment. Do you love Jesus? To which many of us, yeah. But are you choosing not to do what he says to you? And here's the rub of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, the orthopraxy that we're going to talk to us about. I think that what we're going to experience in the next couple months is going to be painful. Are you encouraged now that you came to church today? It's going to be painful, but this is really all I'm doing is I want to warn us with what we're about to take a look at. In fact, James chapter 1, verse 22 says this, don't just listen to God's word, doctrine. I want you to do what it says. I want you to praxy. James chapter 2, verse 17, faith, doctrine, without works, praxy, is dead. These things that we're about to talk about are going to be the spiritual markers of maturity. And I know that the question many of us are going to now ask today is, how do I measure up to the things that we're about to discover? Where do I fall actually on this linear growth line? What will that look like for me? But ultimately, what we are doing, the culmination of the doctrine that we've studied for months to now the praxy that we're about to discover, is described by Ligon Duncan this way. He said, what we've been given is from a description of God's new family and prayers for God's new family. Now we shift to the standards of living that God what? Expects from his new family. Like what we're about to step into is like God expects us to be this. He expects us to praxy these ways. And within this is really interesting because Paul kind of says, therefore, to which we answer, what's it there for, Paul? All of the doctrine, now I want you to praxy. But this is what he says, I beg you to do this. Have you ever begged for something in your life before? I mean, I remember begging a few times in my life. In fact, I would go back to my childhood again where we used to do this thing back in the day. Maybe you've heard of it before, but it was called discipline. You know, like we would do this thing back there, whether you'd get the pinch on the arm, the ear tug by mom, perhaps the little swat. We would have this thing back in that day, actually. Like it was a thing. And I remember four words that my mom or my dad would speak And it instilled a holy fear into my life. And it was this, go to your bedroom. And it was there where I had to go to my bedroom where I was now going to await the presence of one of my parents. And I didn't want them by me, though. Like, that's the weird thing about that moment. But the moment that day came in to that bedroom, Sean Chapman knew how to turn on the waterworks. Mommy, I love you. Please don't do this. I'll never do this again. I'll even sell my brother and my sister just to prove to you my love. Like, I would pour it on. I would beg my parents not to come near me because I knew what was going to happen. Whereas my brother on the other side, he would stand in that room too because it was often him and I that were getting in trouble all the time. And he would kind of be there and he'd be like, just bring it. All right, whatever you got, I'm willing to take it. My brother has been known to throw comic books into his underwear so that it would soften the blow of the SWAT that would happen too. But so many different things. But we understand begging at different places. I've watched my own children beg before their mother to do something to which they're like, Lisa's like, no, I'm not going to do it. And they go and they go and they go. And I'm going to rat my son out right now just for the moment. He comes up to me sometimes and said, Dad, watch this. And I watch how he manipulates his mom to get her to do what he's going to ask for. I love it. It is so good. This idea of begging happens. So when Paul says, I beg you, what he is communicating is there is an urgency. This is mission critical for what is about to take place. And this is what he begs us for. I beg you to lead a life. I beg you to walk a life that is worthy of your calling. Because of all the doctrine, the orthodoxy that we have now just learned, he is saying, I beg you, do something with this. But folks, please hear me today. We do not walk worthy so that God will love us. We walk worthy because he loved us. You cannot earn this. But what he says, if you're going to say you love me, you are going to follow me, then do what I am asking you to do. David Guzik wraps this up beautifully. He says, when we really understand how much God did for us, we will naturally want to serve and obey him out of gratitude. That's good. The key word in this moment for us, though, is he says, I want you to live a life worthy. I want you, some translations will say, walk worthy. I want you to walk. And this word walk is an important one for us today, is it not? Because what is walking? It is an action. It means that you are now doing something. In fact, you are moving from something to something. It is that linear growth chart again, where in our maturity, we walk to the things that Christ has asked and communicated to us. And as I've mentioned, we have processed a lot of doctrine. But what now Paul is saying, it is time, church. It is time to begin to apply it. And here's why. There is a world that is desperately watching and waiting in anticipation for the authenticity of people who want to wave the flag of being a Christian. Not religious, not people of faith, but people who say, I love Jesus. Let me ask you, but are you doing what Jesus has asked you to do? And are you living that out loud? The thing that I wonder and the question that I would propose to us today would be this. Are you more inclined to talk rather than to walk? Are you more inclined to talk rather than walk? Charles, I think we've got that even on the screen for people to see it. Like what this all is coming down to today is it is time to walk our talk. So he says, therefore, I beg you to walk worthy. And in that, he kind of gives us a couple of spiritual maturity markers, five of them actually. Let me quickly give you these markers. And really what I want you to ask yourself is, who are you with this word that I'm about to show? They were from our text. I'm not making this stuff up. But this is your opportunity today to say, where am I spiritually with this? The first one he presents to us is that spiritually mature people are humble. And for that, I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 8, where it says this, don't be selfish. I'm guilty, God, already. of that one. But humility is never selfish, according to this. It goes on to say, don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in other people too. You and I, we must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And it says that though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. The first marker of spiritual maturity is humility. Where in your life does this need to work itself out a little bit better? But it is the example of Jesus Christ ourself, the one who is worthy of it all. Why we come to the communion table today, it's Jesus, it's humility. Where are you at in your maturity when it comes to humility? The second thing that he gives us very quickly is the word gentle. The other word for gentle that we could throw in here is the word meek. Galatians 5:23 will indicate that there is gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things amongst the other things that he talked about. Really, what we're talking about with gentleness of spirit is this. It's not demanding your own personal rights anymore. You lay it down. That's what gentleness is going to look like. The third thing that he gives to us comes from the word patience. Colossians 3 verses 12 to 13 says this, since God chose you to be a holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. The word patience actually finds itself from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 in this list that is known as the fruit of the Spirit. This is what I want to say about these topics of gentleness and patience when it comes to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a supermarket. This is not a pick and choose adventure for us. It is an all. He wants us to model, he wants us to live out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The fourth mark of spiritual maturity that he gives to us today is this one, allowance for fault. Have you ever noticed somebody around you has been at fault before? Anybody ever experienced that before? Don't point to them, but you know what I'm talking about, this idea of fault. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, 15 is quite clear. When you forgive, you will be forgiven. When you don't forgive, guess what? God's not forgiving you. And this idea of allowing other people to have mistakes in their life and still accepting them and bringing them in is so important. It's called tolerance. It's called forgiveness. And if you are not executing this allowance for faults, let me ask you, where are you at in your spiritual maturity? We are instructed that we are to do this. I'll tell you that this week, my wife executed this beautifully for me. I remember having a conversation with Lisa. And I went to bed that night, and as I do often, I reached out my hand and I place it on her arm, and I pray over my wife, and I pray for the subject that was at hand. It just so happened to be that I was praying for marriages that day, and so I was praying for our marriage. And as I had my hand on her, I felt the Lord say to me, "You lied to Lisa today." And so I took my hand away and I said, "How dare you?" And as I'm praying for Lise, he's recalling my conversation. And he's like, "You know what, Sean? You gave her half-truth," which, folks, just for the record, if it's even a half-truth, it's still a lie, if it's not full truth. And I had to wake up the next morning and approach my wife and say, "I'm sorry, I lied to you." And she demonstrated allowance for fault beautifully to me. I didn't deserve it, but she gave it. And I'm thankful for that today. But her example is exactly what Paul is trying to get to in maturity. I saw a maturity in my wife and an immaturity in me. And that's where iron begins to sharpen iron. So I was thankful for that moment in our lives. The last marker of spiritual maturity, though, comes and is called love. Now, I've been waiting to make my debut in church for this exact moment for a really long time. But 1 Corinthians 13, it reads that but you don't love others, so I would only be like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I was thinking about this week. I've always wanted to play. But what Paul is trying to say to you and I today is that when you choose to make that post on social media that destroys somebody else's character, when you choose to actually not listen to that boss or work with that fellow employee and give them the value that they deserve, guess what you sound like? When you choose not to love the way Jesus has asked us to love, this is what we sound like. How many of you today are thankful that I'm not a drummer? Yeah, me too. In fact, it's really noisy back here. So spiritual maturity when it comes to love, do you sound like that? That's what he's getting to. And I will tell you, with what I see in this climate, I hear a lot of clanging cymbals for people who have communicated to me, I love Jesus. But if that's what we are articulating to a world, we are falling short in our maturity as believers. Jesus told us that the world is going to know that we are not religious or people of faith. They're going to know that we are followers of Christ by the way we love. So Paul wraps up these short verses and he gives us the mandate. And here's the mandate that he presents to us. Your mandate is that you will make every effort to keep the unity. Notice that it doesn't say uniformity. That's our own translations, which is garbage. It says that we are to keep the unity through the bond of the Spirit, and we do it through this thing of making peace. The culmination of Jesus' work on the cross for us today is summed up in this statement, that he came because a fractured humanity needed to become a united humanity. How many of you know that this world is pretty out of control, right? It's a little warped. It's fractured, we could say. But as followers of Christ, we are not to bring further fracturing to this moment in time. We are to bring a unification that comes through the bond of the Holy Spirit of God. And what Paul is saying to you and I is how we're going to do this is by our actions. We are going to be able to do this together. And notice the language of what Paul says to us today. This is important for us. Make every effort not to make peace, it says. It says make every effort to keep peace. Let's keep a couple of things in mind. Your job is not to make peace. That's God's, and he's already done it through the work of the cross. But our responsibility is to keep peace, which means for us today that we know unity does not just happen. We have to cultivate peace. We have to maintain it. We have to bring deliberate endeavor towards it. But it's his mandate to us today. I need you to keep peace. I need you to bring unity because that's what this world is wanting to see. Authentic Christ followers living what he says. See, maturity that we are talking about today, it's a trajectory that we are all on. All of us are at some mark of the trajectory. You may be down here drinking milk. You may be up here living on steak and lobster. I don't know where you are at. But the reality is we're all somewhere on this and we get to do it together. Like that's the fun part. But all what Paul is saying to us today is it's time for us to get our praxy on. It is time for the church to be what Jesus Christ has intended his bride to be. Not what you choose, not what you don't want to do, but what he says. I asked you a question at the very beginning today, and it was this. Do you love Jesus, but choose not to do what he says? And your answer to that
will probably give you an indicator for where the maturity is spiritually for you in this season of your life. But here's the good news. This is God's design for us. I've given you a lot of knowledge. I've given you a lot of stuff, doctrine. Quit just holding it here. Bring it over here and proxy it to a world. Let's quit being religious. Let's quit being people who just talk this faith nonsense. But faith is important. Let's get back to, I'm a follower of Christ. And Jesus told me to do something. So guess what? No matter how hard it may be, I'm going to do what he says. Amen? Let's pray. With your eyes closed today, I just want you to process your own spiritual maturity, the path. Put that picture in your mind of the linear growth pattern. Where are you on that? In fact, when the things that we had discussed today in the subjects of humility, where are you at with humility these days? Where's your gentleness? Where's maybe the patience? Are you making allowance for other people's faults? Where's your love? Or do you just sound like a clanging cymbal? I mean, let the Holy Spirit reveal to you that in this week, hey, I really want you to go after this in your maturity. I want to grow this out within you, and allow him to speak that over your life right now. So Holy Spirit, I thank you today that that's how good you are. You're that specific. The goal that you have set is that we walk in maturity. The goal is mature. And so you don't want us to always stay here and in those moments where we struggle. And I get it, God, we're human beings and we're not perfect. But your desire for me is maturity spiritually. And may I not just listen to the word of God. May I do what it says. And I pray for my friends today that as we walk into this week, you will help us to become mature the way you need us to be. Jesus, I do love you. And I ask you to forgive me when I choose not to do what you ask me to do. I pray that you would make those moments appear in our lives together, though, this week, that we would surrender it back to you and allow that pattern to be concluded and bring spiritual maturity that is healthy and positive. I want to be a part of your solution to allow the kingdom of God to be seen here on this earth. So I thank you for that. And with all eyes closed and heads bowed today, perhaps you're even in this space today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. The one who died for you, the one who really has an amazing plan for you in this maturity trajectory. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. And today, maybe you're saying like, Sean, I need that Jesus in my life. When you will open your eyes in a few moments, there'll be an instruction on the screen that says, text the word life to 250-478-7113. And this is your opportunity to say, I want to explore Jesus. I want to invite him to my life. One of our pastors will do that with you, for you. So take advantage of that. And if you're online, same. Click that link and make sure that you are able to do that today. So Father, thanks for this day. And thanks for what you're doing. Help us to get our praxy on as a church. And give us a great week as we do it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So, couple of things before you leave. You'll want to hear this. It's really important. Next Sunday is when that time change thing happens. So make sure you mark your clocks because you'll come at a weird time. Second thing is that tonight, for all of our volunteers, we want to celebrate you. It's team night tonight. 5 to 7, we want you to come have a meal. We're going to honor you together, make that happen. So take advantage of that. If you are brand new to Colwood Church, welcome. Pastor Tyson and Pastor James are in the welcome area back here. Please go say hello to them. And my last request of you would be this. We're about to transform this room into tables and chairs for team night tonight. If somebody has a few minutes to help us put some tables up and move some chairs around, I would greatly appreciate that. And so just stick around and we'll bring some instruction for that. Church, we love you. Go get your praxy on and we'll see you next week.